the more compassion we have towards animals, the more compassion we're going to have towards other people.
If you can value them all, you really value yourself as well.
So even if you don't care about animals, the things we do that hurt animals end up hurting ourselves.
It's almost kind of a dominion type issue where we feel we need to control everything.
Dominion means stewardship, to take care of.
What would a cow think about satisfying our habit? The challenge lies with looking at suffering from the perspective of the person or individual suffering.
Welcome to Voices for the Animals on K.
B.
O.
O.
Portland. Portland. You're listening to your new hosts, Noah Bristol and Julianne Schwartz. I am not Julianne, I am Noah, and I have been a longtime Portland resident and fighting for animal rights for the last 8 to 9 years with a variety of organizations, including Anonymous for the Voiceless, Mercy for Animals, and many others. Julianne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a recent Portland transplant from Los Angeles, California. I used to do some pretty good activism in Los Angeles with the SAVE movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to Portland, Julianne. Now, Courtney and Dab, your former hosts, did great work on the show for several years, and we're very grateful for them for all they did educating us about animal rights events all around the world. And they've passed the torch to us, and this is our first time on the radio, so I'm sure we'll be making lots of mistakes. And you can tell us all about everything we did wrong on our Facebook page at Voices for the Animals. Today we're going to be talking with Thomas Chang, and Julianne actually knows Thomas better than I do, so I'll let her tell us a little bit about Thomas.
Yes, I actually met Thomas last year at the Animal Liberation Western Convergence in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's a really awesome animal rights activist who actually just made the headlines for some pretty amazing work at a duck farm in Northern California. He was actually basically almost killed.
Yeah, we'll hear a lot more about that from Thomas himself in a few minutes. But first, I'm going to make a few announcements. One is that if you'd like to hear more from Thomas after you finish listening to this interview, we're actually having an extended interview with him in the podcast version of this show, which you can find on kboo.fm and also on iTunes and Google Play. And we'll also be posting bonus episodes that you can only hear in podcast form, so be sure to follow those if you want to hear more from Voices for the Animals. As far as events in the Portland area are concerned about animal rights or veg lifestyle, we've got Veg Out coming up in August. What's that about, Julianne?
Well, I've actually never been, but I hear there's some really awesome food and some vendors there.
Yeah, I was actually there last year. There's great drinks, vegan food, music, speeches, and it's happening on August 10th and 11th at Holiday Park. I'll be there. Should be a good time, good place to meet people who might care about animal rights, or maybe they just like to eat. And then the big one that's coming up in August is the official Animal Rights March Portland. When does that happen, Julianne?
That will be August 17th at 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. at Szymanski Park, which is in downtown Portland.
And it's going to be pretty inspiring if last year is anything to go by. I was there last year. Julianne, I think you were in Los Angeles for their Animal Rights March, right?
Yes, I was.
How many people did L.A. get?
I believe there's about 300.
Oh, Portland, I think, got more than, more than twice that much.
Yeah,
huh? Interesting.
Don't quote me on that.
And we're hoping to get even greater numbers this year. So it should be an inspiring day, and you can learn more about that on aapdx.org if you'd like to. And there's also lists of many more animal rights events on that website for anyone who wants to learn more and get involved in the local community here. Now we're going to bring in Thomas. Thomas, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for coming on the show, Thomas.
Thank you, Julianne.
How did you get involved into animal activism?
After a year of being vegan and seeing some of the things online about what other activists were doing for the movement, I decided to join the movement by joining a DXC action and also Anonymous for a Voiceless Cube. The first day I participated in any activism, which is pretty cool.
So Anonymous for the Voiceless and DXC are the groups that you work with the most, correct?
I do. I also go out to SAVE movements, vigils, and pretty much anything like Compassionate Bay, or trying to get the fur ban passed in California. pretty much anything that I can go to that's animal rights related, I will try to make.
Now, last month, in June 2019, there was a mass action in Sonoma County, California, that you were a part of, and that was with DXE, I believe. So can you tell us a little bit about that action itself?
Oh, the Petaluma duck farm action at the from the ALC?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a very impactful action. There was many things going on with that action. We went there to rescue animals, also document the conditions that these animals are put in, and with animal cruelty involved. DXE has tried every channel to find out if they could do something about the animal cruelty that's happening to these animals through legal channels, contacting the farms, contacting the companies, contacting everyone, even the sheriff's departments and legal, every legal way that we can contact them. And no one's doing anything to do for this animal cruelty that's happening. So we were there to document that, to save animals, and also show the plight of what's going on in these factory farms.
This is a farm and slaughterhouse where more than 1 million ducks are killed each year. Is that right?
Yeah. My specific role on that team was to lock down on the slaughter line and to have media attention brought on to what was going on with the animals, and also to save some lives that we could, that were needed vet care or water or food. There's a law in California, 597E, that allows any citizen that knows if an animal needs food or water, has to get food or water for 12 hours, or needs vet care, can go and deliver food or water or give vet care to that animal. And that's what we were doing. The cops and the law in Sonoma County believe that we were in the wrong by trespassing and arresting us rather than the people that are committing this animal cruelty to these animals.
Can you tell us more about what locking down means and why it was chosen to perform that action at the slaughterhouse?
So I think a group of us, I think our team of 10, decided we're going to chain ourselves by the neck with U-locks to the conveyor belt, which brings these ducks into this facility to be killed and processed for consumption. So basically, we're going to bring the whole facility to a grinding halt and basically have the team on the news or whatever way we can document live streaming, social media, what was going on in these facilities, and what we were prepared for and to do for animal liberation.
Now, I saw a video of this happen. I think it was filmed by Condition One, for anyone who wants to see it, search for it online. And it was a pretty dramatic scene where the 10 of you said, went in and took ducks off of the slaughter line and then locked your necks down to that line. And then something even more dramatic happened. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. While we were locked on to the conveyor belt, someone turned on the conveyor belt and pulled me into a pole almost to my death. I remember watching the video and footage, and I know exactly how it felt when that was happening. I was actually literally only like 15 to 20 feet away from where the ducks get brought in and killed. They go through a stun bath, they get a knife in their head or neck, and they go on through the rest of the process on that line. And about 15 to 20 feet away from there, I was sitting next to the holding pen, and someone turned on the conveyor belt with me on it, with all of us on it. Me being close to a pole, I couldn't get around the pole without my head being detached. The safety measures that we put in place allowed for a split second of time for the machine to be turned off before there was any spinal cord damage or, you know, decapitation. So when I got out of the lock, I remember Lewis asking me in the video, I saw the video, and he was like, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Oh, I'm good." That's because I didn't feel any snaps or crunches or pops. I could still stand. I could still use my legs. I mean, I think I lost consciousness there for a second or two towards the end there. But right when the machine stopped, I was really relieved. When I got out of the lock, I remember looking at, you know, the doorway and seeing some of the workers there. I was in complete disbelief that they would do that. And after that, I think the decision was to go ahead and lock down with the others down in the front of the gate.
So while you were locked down, one of the workers at the slaughterhouse chose to turn the line back on. Do you think it was intentional? Do you think they intended to hurt you?
I believe they did. There's no way that they didn't know that we were there, I don't believe. I couldn't see everything that was going on, but from what I heard and what they said to us, I think someone actually said, hey, we'll turn it back on while Brittany, one of my teammates, was still locked in there. She was still kind of, she was the last one to get off, and they threatened to turn it back on while she was still there, right after she was kind of getting out of the lock. So I think they fully knew that we were there, and they knew what they were doing.
That sounds really frightening, and it's hard to imagine what it must feel like to, you know, feel the life being choked out of you while you're fighting for the lives of other innocent beings. I wonder if you could, you know, sit down with that person who turned the line on. What would you say to them? What would you ask them?
You know, we were kind of all prepared and kind of briefed on how dangerous the first few moments of an action is, because we don't know if we're being met with violence or whatnot. I have to put myself into that person's shoes and say it was part of the system that made him do that. You know, when you're in this industry of killing and violence and a million ducks goes by at your workplace to be killed, you know, there's a part of him and his humanity, I don't believe, that, you know, is taken away from working there. I can't fully blame that person for that action, but at the same time, who knows, he might be a psychotic person that doesn't care about other people at all and did it on purpose just to see what would happen. You know, I can't say, you know, all I can do is not hold hate in my heart for someone else. I think it just brings me down.
So after you were out of the bike lock and you headed towards the front of the slaughterhouse, which was the gate, and the other activists were sitting there holding the ducks that were found dead, the ambulance came, correct?
Yeah, well, on the way out to the front gate, I remember wanting to lock myself in the gate too with the rest of my team. I sat down, actually started to lock myself in, and I kind of felt the pain. I felt the pain in my neck, and I definitely felt the shooting pain in my hands, and I decided that was a bad idea. And so I went and sought medical attention, and I went across the road, and, you know, the first aid team that was with there helped me out, and we waited for the ambulance to get there, which they did.
In the moment, with all the adrenaline coursing through your system, I'm sure it's hard to tell what damage has actually been done to your body in an injury like that. Are you okay now? How has it turned out?
I'm getting better and better every day. I still have some nerve damage in my hands and some numbness in my thumbs. It doesn't hurt nearly as much as it did before. It used to hurt every time I swallowed. It's a mild pain now. It's just, it's just getting better and better. So I'm hoping this will all go away at some point.
That's great to hear. Did the police seem interested at all in prosecuting this individual or the company or pursuing the person who seemed to willfully injure you?
I think we're going to look into some legal action. If anything, we want to go after the farm, right? Like, I don't know if the individual is the one person that we want. We'll see what the lawyers say.
Now, you were, I think, taken away in an ambulance before the arrests began, but how many activists were arrested that day?
I believe 79 in total were arrested that day.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of a larger strategy by Direct Action Everywhere in Sonoma County, right? Can you tell us about that?
We want ultimately to pass Rose's Law to give animals a Bill of Rights. But we also are... going for the right to rescue, you know, and the rescue animals that need medical attention or water or food that are being neglected or exploited in a way that, you know, no one wants. So.
And just a question about your friends and family and their reactions to seeing these videos or, you know, hearing you speak about it. What is it, a good reaction, a bad reaction? Do you explain to them how many ducks were actually saved? You know, 32 ducks lives were saved that day because you put yourself on the line. Are they proud of that?
My family hasn't really responded to me. My sister and my mother were very worried and concerned after watching the video or hearing about it. But, you know, my immediate family, and I mean, generally my cousins and aunts and uncles, like, no one has reached out to me about it. And so, yeah, I don't know what to say too much about it. I mean, I've tried to talk to my sister about it, and she thinks I'm a cult. So, I mean, maybe not so much anymore. We just spent some time together in New York, which I believe my nephew and my niece are vegan. Or going towards vegan after my visit. But, you know, hopefully, you know, she'll open up and maybe see some of the videos that, you know, the cards I give her. But who knows? She doesn't seem like she's too open to it. But, yeah, that's just kind of what's going on with my family. My friends, no one's really reached out to me either. I think they're all kind of just stuck in that, you know, the matrix of the carnist world, where they believe, you know, animal use is okay. I believe they just don't know the whole facts, which is what I was in that position too. So I can't really say much about where they are in their cognitive dissonance about animal rights or veganism. But so what I can look forward to is the people I do talk to on the streets or reach through social media, or any other actions that we take to inspire vegans to get active or non-vegans to go vegan. As we know, going vegan is just the baseline. And
Yeah, often family and friends that we've had for many years are the hardest people to talk to about all these issues. I know that from personal experience. And sometimes we can have much more fulfilling conversations with complete strangers on the street who just stop by and are interested to have a discussion. Now, I want to learn a little bit more about what DXE is doing down in California, because as far as I know, this is the third mass arrest in that same county, Sonoma County, and particularly in Petaluma, California. And this was, I believe, the first time where the people who were arrested were released without any charges filed. Have you received any charges?
I personally have not received any charges. What was curious, too, is why Wayne Shung got arrested when he never set foot on the duck farm. He was on public property the whole time. He was a police liaison. And so, yeah, they're trying to go after, I guess, the head of the snake, right, against DXE. And DXE is, you know, the same arm of the movement in the animal rights movement as Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, right? We're looking to challenge the laws with civil disobedience, to overload the system in the jail systems, and just challenge the legality of what Big Ag is doing. Eventually get banned in Berkeley, if not San Francisco. Once we take out one part of animal rights defenses, like the excuses that we have to excuse animals, then the whole rest of the house of cards will fall down.
That's an inspiring vision, and we're starting to see changes right now. I believe that a proposal to ban the sale of new fur items is pretty far along in the legislative process in the state of California, isn't that right?
Yes, we have two more steps, I believe, until it's signed into law where no new fur is allowed in the state of California, and that includes internet sales through Amazon, you know, old fur and secondhand fur is still okay to sell, but no new fur, right? And it's a cruel and unjust industry that is completely needless. You know, we don't need it at all. So I think Californians are opening up to actually more compassion towards other beings other than themselves, for clothing, and hopefully for food in the near future.
Yeah, DXC and what they are trying to do with their mass actions that we've seen in the last couple of years, it's not even about challenging the law sometimes, but challenging how the law is not being upheld. Because California, to my knowledge, has pretty stringent animal cruelty laws that do not have an exception for animal agriculture like some other states do. And the investigations that they did at that farm, the Reichardt Duck Farm, showed repeated and abusive animal cruelty violations of the law that lawmakers or law upholders, the local police force, refused to address in meaningful ways. And how I understand it is that this latest arrest, mass arrest, those people being released without charges filed, is a step forward because it might mean that the county is realizing they can't intimidate DXC or animal rights activists out of coming back and holding them accountable for upholding California's own laws. Is that how you understand it? And do you think that we've gone over the hump and maybe Sonoma County is starting to realize they need to work with animal rights activists rather than against them?
I believe that is part of it. And the last mass action was also everyone that was arrested agreed there would be no bail. So a no bail jail scenario, right? They weren't going to hurt us financially because we weren't going to pay it. You know what I mean? So even if they brought in charges and bail was super high like last time, it just made their side look even worse. Because the bigger the charges, the harsher they try to come down on us, the better it looks for animal rights. And I think that it's working. That's why I think that's one part of the reason why they didn't bring charges on us. We'll see what happens if they do bring charges or not.
I know you just got back from New York, and I know you were doing some activism there. You were doing it with, I believe, Anonymous for the Voiceless?
Yes, yes. Just got back from New York from the Week of Truth. We had 8 days of activism. It's something that's never been done in the animal rights movement before. From 10 to 10 every day, there was a queue of truth happening in New York City. At the end of the week, we had 3,026 people that took veganism seriously enough to either take a challenge, 22-day challenge, or watch all the documentaries that we're talking about, or we give them resources to.
So, what was that number again?
3,026 people took veganism seriously that week.
That's pretty incredible. That's a pretty amazing count. And yeah, there are over 1,000 chapters of Anonymous for the Voiceless all over the world, including several here in the Portland area. One in Vancouver, one in Portland, and one in Beaverton, I believe, or Washington County.
Yeah, an extremely powerful platform. If you are not part of Anonymous Voiceless, you can find your local chapter from cubatruth.com. If you don't have a chapter near you, you can start one, and we'll help you out with that. It was an incredibly powerful event. Activists from all around the world came together for this Week of Truth. We battled through extreme heat. Several people passed out a couple of days of the week there. We had to fight hecklers. There's a lot of things that went on. But in the end, we got the truth out there for a week and influenced over 3,000 people. And who knows where those 3,000 people will be in the future. Hopefully they'll be Earthling Ed or James Aspie or something like that. Hopefully.
Well, Thomas, have you had a chance to meet any of the rescued ducklings?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to meet any of them yet, which is, I saw pictures of them, so cute, like taking in the bathtub and stuff. And those 32 lives, those guys, I'm sure they're living it up in a sanctuary with the be able to swim in water.
Yeah, absolutely. Ducks are aquatic animals, and in a factory farm like the Reichardt Duck Farm, they don't have access to pools of water for their entire lives, which is like humans living in the water for their entire lives. It's just not natural to our bodies and our biology and leads to lots of problems. I'd like to learn, what is a Cube of Truth exactly for our listeners who might not know? What does that look like?
So the Cube of Truth is where activists stand in a cube formation, and they're all wearing black, and they wear Guy Fawkes masks. And it's more like akin to an art performance. and they're holding a sign that says the truth, or a laptop, or a TV, or a tablet that's playing slaughter footage, right? Mm-hmm. And as people, bystanders walk by and engage into the footage, there are outreachers that just have a conversation with them. And if it's a good conversation, we give them a card with different resources, with documentaries, and specifically a vegan22.com challenge on Facebook that they can take on to start their vegan journey. It comes with a fully supported 3-week challenge. You get mentors, you get shopping lists, you get recipes, you get dietitian. There's fun daily challenges that they have for you. So it makes it really easy to be vegan, and you just kind of skip over all the pitfalls that people usually make when they first go vegan. So you get all the great tips, you get all the recipes, you get everything from the get-go to be vegan and be successful at it.
Yeah, and the conversions that Anonymous for the Voiceless counts are people not necessarily who have gone vegan on the spot, but who really have been impacted by what they've seen and what they've talked about and are going to go home and do some more research and really take veganism seriously. And to have over 3,000 of those in a single week is pretty incredible. And that's, you know, potentially 3,000 or more people who are going to go vegan and spare hundreds of animals a year. I won't say save, because bare veganism is really just choosing not to harm animals and sparing them. But many of those people might also become activists and actively work to save animals like you yourself, Thomas. So congratulations for that.
Exactly. Thank you. And thank you for everything you do, and Julianne as well.
Is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners that we haven't covered?
I'd like to say, you know, if you are vegan, that's great. You have to get active. Anyone that is vegan should be active in the movement in any way you can. We all have our own special ways that we can help. Whether it be behind the scenes or on the front lines, we all need to do something for this global climate crisis, but especially for the trillions of animals' lives that are taken every year needlessly for greed, basically. It's destroying our earth, destroying our health, and especially destroying animals' lives.
Thank you for that, Thomas, and thank you for joining us today. One last question I have for you is, do you think you'll ever lock yourself by the neck to another slaughter line?
I was advised against that by the doctor. I might choose other body parts other than my...
Well, good thing we have lots of body parts.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who want to hear more from Thomas, we're actually going to continue chatting with him in a more casual way in our podcast. So you can find that again on kboo.fm. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in.
All right, Thomas, we're now on the podcast portion, which means we can say anything. We're on the internet now.
Awesome. The interwebs are great.
Let the curse words flow. No, just kidding. Don't actually do that. Yeah, Julianne and I, to give you an image, are huddled around a single microphone in the studio because you couldn't hear me talking into my other mic.
I'm actually sitting on a trash can.
Oh, I know. It sounds way better. Yeah.
This is community radio at its finest.
whatever we need to do to get the word out there.
Exactly. We're looking forward to speaking more about veganism and activism on the radio for the public to actually hear. And
well, I hear you guys have an amazing community up there of activists, and I hear the food is awesome too.
Yeah, we're really good. We're ahead of the game on the culinary part of veganism, and our activism here is vibrant sometimes, and sometimes I think it needs a lot more people to come out and stop just eating the great, delicious vegan food, but also fight for the animals that we all love. But one thing that we didn't mention during the radio broadcast is that Julianne and I were both there that day in Petaluma at the Reichardt Duck Farm. And we had different roles from you, of course, but I was among those 79 people arrested, and it was definitely a transformative experience, and I feel empowered by it. I spent 2.5 days in police custody, and Julianne was my jail support. She did a very good job. She got my flight rescheduled for no charge.
No charge.
Somehow she had the magical touch with Southwest Airlines, and she kept all my stuff, kept it from getting lost or broken, and calmed my mother down, which might be the most important and most difficult job. Did you have jail support when you were lined up, even though you didn't actually end up getting arrested?
I thought I had jail support and stuff. I didn't expect to need anything because I was just going to be in jail and fast the whole time. So that's why I didn't write any numbers on myself. Phone numbers, that was the marker was for. So I had someone write the animal liberation, you know, on my forearms, like just to see what the tat would look like. Cause I was thinking about getting the tat. And so like after the action, I had to get the tat.
Yeah, we all saw that iconic photo. I think everyone had it as their profile photo.
Yeah, I think everybody that was there that day had it as their profile for at least a week or two afterwards, probably still till this day.
Right. And thank you guys for, you know, what you did and standing with us and getting arrested with everyone else and showing, you know, the world that, you know, what the police is doing, being private security basically for Big Ag is wrong. You know, they're just going against the books, the laws on the books. They're going against what people want for animals. You know, people just don't know what's going on over there.
I think, two things from my personal perspective, but I was on the same bus as Noah as we were driving up there, but we got separated at one point. And the activists surrounding me that had cell service actually were watching the live stream of you being basically almost killed. And I mean, I know you personally, so I obviously connected with that, and it was really terrifying to watch somebody that you know go through that. And I mean, I'm glad that you're okay. We didn't find out that you were okay until, you know, we headed up to the farm and got in place. But it was really terrifying to see that. And I think everybody there was, you know, with you, but also still freaking out about what was going to happen to them, to you, and to everybody else that was in that farm.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone saw that until the next day. That was really kind of crazy. Because I think the footage didn't get out until Condition 1, you know, put it out, right?
Yeah, I think it was probably a day later that we were sitting there, and they had posted it, the aerial footage from the drone, and also the footage that one of the activists was taking inside of the farm itself. But it was crazy to watch that.
Yeah, when I watched it, I had a visceral reaction to it. to this day, I've probably only watched the whole video like 5 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I teared up definitely watching that video and seeing how intense it was. And yeah, I brought up the jail support partly to let listeners know that, you know, to be an animal rights activist, you don't have to be locking your neck down to a slaughter line necessarily or risking arrest. That might be something that people decide to do down the line, but there are ways that you can help and you can really contribute to this movement without risking your life or your freedom.
I think the second thing that I was going to bring up was I recently saw a post on, I believe it was Facebook, about the Sonoma County Police Department, and it was basically referencing like a poster that, you know, showed their support for the farm. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I saw that. It was.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Noah saw that.
No.
This is probably a new thing for him, but I saw that a couple days ago, and the reaction was obviously from, you know, animal activists was, you know, why would they decide to post that after something like that happened so recently? But I think it's just kind of a in your face to activists and what they're doing.
I completely agree. There's like, hey, ha ha, you know, the cops are on our side. You know, they're bought and paid for. Basically, nothing you're doing is working. That's how scared they are, I believe.
Yeah, I think it definitely shows, you know, how scared they are for the fact that they're, you know, obviously is live footage of what they're doing to these animals behind closed doors. People are now able to see it. We live in a society that, you know, is always constantly on the internet and recording things, even when they think that it's not being recorded. So I think that that's, you know, hopefully the change that we need people going in and actually recording in their local slaughterhouses or their local dairies or, you know, anything like that. We need people out there, you know, just driving by to record it to show that those animals there are existing and they're being harmed, whether it looks like it or not.
Totally agree.
Yeah, and I wanted to describe that picture for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's Thomas looking battered but not broken, holding his arms up with massive animal liberation lettering drawn on his forearms. And I only call it massive because you got it as a tattoo, which must have been painful and taken a long time, but it seems like that incident has only reaffirmed your commitment to animal rights.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's why I was there. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard, but I filled out it was like a jail support form, and one of them is like, who do we contact in case of emergency? You know, what relationship you have with this person, and in what instance should we contact this person? And I put down death, like, straight up. You know, like, if I die, that's when you should call this person. You know,
wow.
I knew exactly, you know, what I was getting into. I knew I was putting a U-lock around my neck and what we were going to put it on, you know. So, you know, it's not like I didn't know that the possibility of death wasn't there.
Have you had any conversation with the other activists that were locking themselves down as well? Like, what they were thinking in that time frame of you being, you know, basically pushed towards that pole and not being able to breathe?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Kelly. She was right next to me, and she was, she's a very small, stature woman, but she was literally being drugged down this line and at the same time trying to keep me from dying. You know, she was trying to, you know, use her legs to kind of keep my body from, you know, I don't know what she could have done, but, you know, she was actively trying to, you know, keep me from dying while she was herself was being pulled along this line.
Well, I admire the attitude that you had going into that action, and we need a lot of people like that, in addition to a lot of people who are more behind the scenes and on support, because that's the strategy that these large corporations and the system that they've injected themselves into with money is going to use against us. They're going to try to intimidate animal rights activists out of coming back. They're going to make the consequences so severe that we are intimidated out of continuing to stage these kinds of actions. But I know that once they realize they cannot intimidate us, then those penalties will drop. And as the public opinion becomes more and more on our side and more against the people who are abusing or punishing just nonviolent, peaceable activists who want a more loving and compassionate world, then hopefully we'll start to see change, and we'll start to see, you know, California first enforce their own animal cruelty laws, and then see more laws like the fur ban get passed that start recognizing the rights of animals to live free and happy lives without human interference or abuse.
Completely. And hopefully they'll see that, you know, we are willing to put our own lives down for the movement and, you know, for Rose's Law, or the right to rescue, or any kind of animal rights, you know, action, you know, like, especially this high-risk one.
Yeah, you mentioned Rose's Law before. Can you tell our listeners where they can find out more about it or read Rose's Law?
Rose's Law is from DXC, so Direct Action Everywhere. If you just go to DXC.io/member, I'm sure you can find out some information on how to be a member and also what Rose's Law is about.
Very cool. Yeah, and if anyone's been to a National Animal Rights Day, I think the Rose's Law proposal was signed by everyone at National Animal Rights Day events around the world. I know that it was in Berkeley where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the ALC. So I don't know. Not exactly, but I think Rose is the one chicken that they let go after last year's ALC at the mass action at the chicken farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had several chickens taken to animal control, and they were euthanized. But one officer let one chicken go, and her name was Rose. And so Rose's Law, you know, why did they let one chicken go? You know, like, if we were actually stealing property and things that belong to people, they wouldn't do this at Best Buy. You know, we wouldn't be took 10 TVs, but, you know, like, hey, we'll give you one if you just, whatever. You know, they're not things. You know, mm-hmm. one officer gave us one being that wanted to live, which her name was Rose. And Rose's Law is the National Bill of Rights for animals' rights to be animals and just, you know, not to be exploited and get, you know, killed the way just for meat or whatever reason that someone else wants for them, you know?
Yeah, I remember this incident from late last year. It was an open rescue, and I think it was about 10 or a dozen chickens who were in need of medical care who were brought off the farm. And then unexpectedly, the police presence was much greater than anticipated, as far as I know. And all these chickens were confiscated. And even though they had veterinarians and sanctuaries lined up to take these chickens, everyone but Rose was euthanized by the authorities with no cause. Is that your remembrance as well?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. And so, like, hopefully Rose's Law will get passed after the fur ban, you know, and hopefully people will understand that fur is skin just like leather is skin to an animal, and life is life, and they don't want to be taken, you know, for no one else's use or entertainment or any other reason.
Have you met any, I know that you've gone to some sanctuaries, but have you met any of the rescued turkeys from last year at the ALWC?
I haven't. I just got to spend that one brief moment at the ALWC with a turkey that I was able to bring and transport from the turkey farm to a crate.
Yeah, I've actually personally never been to a sanctuary, but I hope to go soon. Everybody laughs at me when I say that, but I spend a lot of my time looking at animals that are, you know, in terrible conditions. And it's hard for me to go to sanctuaries and see the animals. It's nice to see them happy and living their life, but it almost feels weird because I want to make sure the other ones are known as well, you know?
You don't know that it's hard. You haven't been to one. We got to get you to a sanctuary, Julianne. And everyone listening has to go to a sanctuary as well, because it's so cool just to hang out with animals that normally would be seen as objects, as commodities, as slaves, as machines, and just to get to know them and get to know their personalities. It really can help ground you, especially as an animal rights activist. It can help inspire you and also just be so relaxing to hang out with animals who are free and happy. And yeah, it's a special experience, and I don't go often enough. I don't know. Do you go very often, Thomas, to sanctuaries?
I don't. I've only been to one. It was at Sweet Farm in Fixer, and it was an amazing experience. Meeting like pigs and goats and cows and chickens and all these animals that are usually commodities. And it was a beautiful day. And we also had a private beach that we got to hang out after, so it was kind of hard to beat.
Wow.
Did you say a private beach?
Yeah, it was like a little quarter-mile hike to a beach, a one-mile-long beach, so it was just no one there. There was two people there, but it was just us. It's great.
Yeah, there are so many activists out there, and I was one for many years, who fight for the rights of animals that maybe they've never even really met or spent time with. That was my case, because I grew up out in the country, but my family didn't have animals and never worked on an animal farm. So I didn't work closely with pigs or cows or chickens or any of those. But I recognized their rights to live free from our abuse and our enslavement, and fought for them for many years before actually going to a sanctuary and meeting these animals. And it definitely helped ground me in my activism and inspire me. So I recommend it for anyone out there who's fighting for animal rights. Actually go meet and get to know some of those animals that you're fighting for.
Yeah, definitely recommended.
I'd actually like to at least go to one of them to meet the turkeys turkeys from last year, because, you know, I was present when that happened, and it was just amazing to see those turkeys be able to, you know, go to a sanctuary where they're going to be loved and, you know, find families and enjoy their actual lives versus, you know, being slaughtered.
Yeah, totally.
So, and going to that farm in particular, you know, I was there with you guys that, you know, they were outside for a little while, but that's not a daily occurrence for them. That was just a one day kind of show for us to look at, you know. So to see them free and out in the actual sunshine and enjoying that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was probably the only time they had heat lamps around them too. You know, it was just to keep us warm.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Anything else for the podcast listeners, Thomas?
Get active. for the movement. I can't say it enough. You know, there's no time. I think time, mm-hmm. 5 to 10 years before we don't have a polar cap anymore. I don't know if that scares the hell out of you, but it kind of scares the hell out of me, you know. Not just me, but everyone I know and everyone who's having kids now and wants a future for the human race. You know, we have to just stand up and speak out if we can.
Yeah, and for anyone listening who doesn't know why Thomas is bringing up the polar caps and environmental destruction, it's because animal agriculture is one of the most, if not the most, environmentally destructive industry and one of the least necessary industries on the planet, responsible for species extinction, oceanic dead zones, environmental destruction, deforestation, and greenhouse gas emissions, more so than any other industry, as far as I know.
That's right. If you don't know, find out.
Thank you, Thomas. Anything more from you, Julian?
Thomas, are you involved in any Extinction Rebellion stuff? I know that that group is getting pretty large here in Portland, and I've seen them a couple of times online, people joining them in California. Is that pretty big there right now?
It's yeah, they had an action today. Yesterday when I was coming in from New York, I was invited to go to one of their actions today. And I asked if the Extinction Rebellion was a vegan organization, and I don't think they are currently.
They aren't, but I think you can start a group with your vegan people and sort of discuss that within that group. But I think that the people that I've met, which aren't very many, are really open to it. But I know that the person in, I can't remember his name. No,
Roger Hallam.
Is vegan, and he's been vegan for quite a long time. So hopefully that'll push the other people that are, you know, following in suit to go vegan as well and realize that it's not just cars and boats and ships and all of that stuff that are causing the damage, and not just plastic, but also what we're consuming and, you know, what we're putting in our own bodies.
Yeah, as far as easy lifestyle changes that we can make to really make a huge impact and stop harming the environment as much as we are, is a switch to a plant-based lifestyle.
Exactly. And, you know, I love Extinction Rebellion, and I'm really excited for what's going to happen in the fall with their collaboration with animal rights. And I really do wish that, you know, everyone in Extinction Rebellion looks at, you know, veganism as one of the answers. But veganism also is not, you know, primarily environmental or health aspect. It is, you know, the rights of these animals not to be exploited or used needlessly by humans.
I think it's pretty cool to see all of the groups come together.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's all one, right? So, and animal rights is so intersectional to every part of our existence on this planet. It's just unlaughable that people don't see it.
Yeah, I think it really comes into play with almost any sort of real problem that we have here in America, at least. You know, people don't see the connections between how we treat animals, you know, as to how we treat humans as well. And I think it's really awesome that these big groups are coming and gathering a lot of people, and hopefully they're able to see the perspective of veganism as well.
Yeah, I mean, if it only takes one person and one rental truck to stop the bridge for like 3 hours, that'd be great.
That's true. Well,
document.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you thank you for being our first guest on the show. I'm fairly nervous still, and Noah's a little bit more easygoing when it comes to this stuff, but I really appreciate you coming on the show and being our first guest. It's really important and awesome. And I think a lot of people, I mean, in the group of friends that I know and the group of friends that you know, they're kind of connected, and they'll be happy to hear your perspective. But I think, you know, anybody who is involved in animal rights or wants to be involved in animal rights will find this interview really interesting because you went through it and recently.
Yeah, well, I'm so honored to be the first guest of the show, and I'm sure it's going to be a big hit.
Yeah, you better listen to every episode from now on, Thomas.
I'll do that.
All right, Thomas. Peace and love.
Right on.
Bye, Thomas. Thank you.
Bye.